Dr. Colleen, will you bring it up for us? We're talking sure. contraceptive, am I right?
Yes, yeah. We're talking about contraception and sexual health this morning. So, Dr. Tina, this is obviously, I don't want to say a bag of worms. There's so many different aspects to this topic, but it's actually crucially important. And unfortunately, things can happen with young people if they don't feel the freedom to maybe discuss this with a peer or with somebody who's knowledgeable or at a local health clinic. So for the younger people out there, what would you like to tell us about contraception and sexual health today?
Okay. Contraception is very important, mm-hmm. especially at the young age, because mm-hmm. Especially at the young age, to prevent teenage pregnancy.
Yes.
Yes, and just to be able to be in control of your sexual health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of myth to say that if someone is taking contraception, they might not fall pregnant
mm-hmm.
later
yeah,
no, in yeah. their life, and yeah. it's not true
mm-hmm.
because we won't offer things that will prevent someone from falling pregnant later
yes.
in their life.
Yes.
And contraceptives are available, but unfortunately sometimes in state we don't have all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you feel like you're not ready, especially when you are young and you still want to pursue your career, you want to finish your school, you want to focus on what you need to achieve in life,
mm-hmm.
it's always better to get contraceptive. And
yes.
what we encourage now is actually contraceptive to prevent you from pregnancy, and also a burial method,
yes.
condoms, so that to prevent, because contraceptive only to say that you are taking a pill or you are using an injection is not enough, because there's also sexual transmitted disease
yes.
that you can encounter.
Yes.
And then that can only be prevented by a burial method such as a condom, either a female condom or a male condom type.
Yes.
Yeah, so that, because the issue is that with sexual transmitted disease, as much as it's something that some of them you won't know that you have them. We call them asymptomatic,
mm-hmm.
some type of bacteria. Others you see you have a discharge or you have pain in your lower abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
And with those, if you don't actually ask for, go to a health center for treatment, you can actually end up with more detrimental
yes.
complications, such as unable to fall pregnant, have chronic pelvic pain, and also what we call, when we enter the abdomen as we operate, frozen pelvis and all those things. So it's always better to plan.
Yes.
Have contraceptive to plan on when to have a family, and also at the same time prevent getting sexual transmitted disease.
Yes.
As I don't know what to say.
So doctor, ideally you would use a barrier method together with the pill or something like
yes.
that.
Yes,
yes,
because I mean, both of them have a very small chance of not working, but together your chances are so much better to prevent the unwanted pregnancy, and of course, also like you said, the sexually transmitted diseases. Because unfortunately, you're not always aware
yeah.
that your partner. And that's not a question that very often get asked, embarrassed or not asking the right questions.
Yeah.
So that's what the youngster should be keeping in mind. Because at the end of the day, That unwanted pregnancy is normally the woman who has to deal with it.
Yes.
And that means her hopes, her dreams, her plans are completely thrown about.
Exactly.
Yes. Mm. So I think it's very important what you mentioned, Dr. Tina. So if adolescents or young women are thinking, oh, but it's fine because I'm on the pill, or and I take it the way that I should, because that's of course another part of it. It does need to be taken at the same time every day, or I'm on a more permanent method, for example, an injection that's every 3 months, or an implant. That doesn't negate the transmission of a sexually transmitted infection. And one of the most important ones is human papillomavirus. Obviously, there's many, many different subtypes. But the problem with human papillomavirus is that the partner could be completely normal looking, so you'd have no idea that they were actually carrying this virus. And what the virus does is it infects the cells within the cervix. And what's really important is actually the age of first sexual contact, because those cells of the cervix are changing. So when a young girl is turning into a woman, there's actually changes inside her body in her cervix as well, where they're changing from one cell type to another, which then makes them a little bit more vulnerable to attack, so to speak, from this virus. And the virus can stay there for a long time. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about human papillomavirus?
Yeah, of course. Human papillomavirus is a sexual transmitted virus, and is the one that is notorious in causing cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there are subtypes. There are subtypes that are, we call them low risk. Mm-hmm. Those ones are more associated with causing genital warts, and then there are those high risk type that they cause cervical cancer. So we get them through, actually most of the people are exposed to it. And at a young age, that's when you are more exposed to it, because that's when you are a little bit promiscuous, you are with one or two people. And when it comes to this, it takes a while for it to cause precancerous lesions. Those are the ones that we now screen when we do a pap smear.
Yes.
And then two, and then a couple of years, to turn into a cervical cancer.
Yes.
So, but if your immune system is low, such as HIV infected patients, those ones, the duration is much shorter into turning into a cervical cancer. So when it comes to HPV, there are vaccines that are available, but then they were meant to be given to when someone before they become sexually active.
Yes.
So mainly girls below the age of 13, because currently, actually, the studies have shown that first coitus, that's the first time to have sex, is actually much earlier now, like around 13. That's when the young girls are...
People are exploring their sexuality.
People are exploring their sexual behavior. So the HPV vaccine is supposed to be given then before, so that then it prevents you from getting either cervical cancer or warts before you are exposed to the virus itself.
Yes.
Yeah, even boys, they can be vaccinated. Yeah, unfortunately, it's not national wide in Namibia, but it is offered in private.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is a vaccine called Gardasil that is covering both 6 and 11, that's for warts, and then 16 and 18. Those are high risk for HPV, for cervical cancer. Unfortunately, there are other subtypes that are not covered by the vaccine.
Yes.
So meaning that even if you get the vaccine, doesn't mean that you mustn't go for your pap smear. You mustn't be screened. You still need to be screened in case the other subtype do cause the cervical changes that we don't want to be there. But if we find that there is a precancerous lesion, there are modality to treat.
Yes.
Yeah, such as we do a colposcopy and we do a LETS when it's needed, and or otherwise we just monitor and see, depending on the level of the precancerous lesions that we'll find on our pap smears.
So it's then the great news is that because the changes progress slowly, if they're caught early enough, there's something that we can do about it before it becomes a problem and a full-blown cancer. And unfortunately, when it does become a full-blown cancer, it's often women in their late 20s or early 30s, often with, you know, very young families at that time. So the importance really then is having your pap smears. Will you tell us a little bit more about, like, how often should they be done? Because there's lots of different recommendations.
Yeah. There is a lot of recommendations, but then the current national guideline is for us to screen from 25, but earlier if it's HFS and HIV positive girl, and then after that we do it if it's an HIV negative patient, 3 yearly.
Okay.
Yeah, and if it's an HIV positive, is every year.
Okay.
So that's the current national guideline.
And then, of course, it would depend if there is an abnormality detected, then it might be a little bit sooner.
Exactly.
And then if the degree of the abnormality is a little bit worse, then you might need to have a small procedure done, which actually then sort of scoops away that those abnormal cells from the cervix.
Yeah.
But really, ideally, because there's a low incidence of maybe having cervical incompetence or a cervix which doesn't close so nicely when you are actually wanting to be pregnant later on in your life, it really, really, really is better to continue to be vaccinated and to continue using condoms, even if you are taking, even if you are vaccinated and you're taking contraception, to still continue with either the male or the female condoms, because that will protect you against other STIs as well, like HIV and also bacterial infections like chlamydia, which can, if not treated, also lead to infertility later on in your life by causing inflammation inside the womb and the tubes.
That's true. To say that if we picked up that there's a lesion, we do shave it off, like scoop it off, and then if there is a risk of a shortening of the cervix, so if you tend to fall pregnant later, you just need to tell your gynae that you had the procedure done, then they will do a serial cervical length measuring. If they see that it's too short, then they'll put a stitch, then the pregnancy should be able to continue as normal. But otherwise, it is very important to take care of ourselves at the sexual level, contraceptive wise, burial method, especially when you have more than one partner or when you can't trust the other one.
The thing is that one way to think about it is that every person you sleep with, you're actually also sleeping with every person they've slept with and that they've slept with and that they've slept with. So if you start to think about it like that, it's not just one or two people.
Exactly.
For me, as a father and a non-medical expert, that just means that uncomfortable talk that the mom and the dad has to have with the youngsters to talk about sexual issues that many people just push aside and hope their friends are going to help them, or the parents, I mean the teachers are going to help them. That discussion has to be had with both of them, but more importantly probably with girls, simply because of these things. And this has to happen before 13. To say, look, we know that there are things going on, there's hormones happening, we should maybe consider a vaccination, simply because I could be saving your capacity to have children in a roundabout way. So parents, we know it's a difficult talk, we know you don't necessarily want to sit down with your youngster, but that's one of your roles. And it's something definitely that has to be done. But I think there are other resources too. Clinics normally will have that kind of information available for young girls and boys if they don't get it at home. But it's important that discussion gets done young these days, because the sexual activity age is dropping all the time.
Yes, and I think it's also important for parents, you know, not to put shame on children about it, because it's completely normal. Nobody can control their hormones. We can control our actions, but the thoughts and the changes and the things that are happening, it's normal. It's a normal part of the human experience, and I do think that the parents are actually best placed to have those discussions with their children, also because it would make the children maybe feel more free to approach their parents if something happens in the future, or if they suspect they might be pregnant, etc., etc.
Yeah, it is very important for as parents to create rapport or to create that relationship at that level with our young adults or growing kids, because when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to just life in general, it's very complex. And if you don't create that relationship whereby when they are vulnerable, they can come to you, then it's going to be difficult when they need you the most.
And of course, they could also visit the gynecologist, who would also be able to help with some of these questions and answers.
Dr. Timna Amupala, and we have Dr. Colleen Kotze with us, of course, as well. That was your health check, this time about something that we don't maybe talk about enough, but it's something that has to be discussed. And, of course, this entire talk is available on our podcast, and we'll have those available to you so you can give it a listen. And if as a parent you're listening, you're going like, ooh, haven't heard that talk yet, have your youngsters listen to it, but they'll be able to then hear what it's about, and you don't have to do the difficult part of doing it. Doctors, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.